can every day listen to Bhagavatam class that you have wonderfully given. But this is what they are at, and we are thinking about it, and it goes on for a few days and then it stops. So I'm just looking for some kind of more inspiration or some suggestion that how can we incorporate that.
You've asked the question, so here we go. How regulated are you? How is it for both of you, or either of you, that you get up pretty much at the same time every day? I mean, not necessarily the same time, each of you, but do you get up the same time every morning?
Yes.
Do you get up the same time every morning?
Right.
So you know how long it takes you to do what you do in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty, by now it's regulated, right?
Yes.
So, there's two options that are common. One of them is better than the other one. Here's the one that's not as good. Because something always comes up. When your husband comes home from work, there's some things that you do in the evening. So, is there some time slot in the evening where there's nothing happening and you just do that? Or, commonly, that's more difficult? And, well, actually there's three options. These are two options when you do something together that's more ideal. So more ideal is you just calibrate how much rest you need. You know what time you need to take rest in order to get up at the same time that you get up every morning. So you take rest X number of minutes earlier. And even if you can't do it all at once, you go in gradations. You know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, and then same amount of rest, and then you get up those number of minutes earlier in the morning. So you're not faking your body out, you're just getting the same amount of rest and just shifting, because the best time, most likely time, both, for spiritual activity is early morning. Yeah, I'm sure you've had the experience, and everyone else has had the experience. The best sadhana is in the early morning. However early that is, the better. This really good, strong hearing and chanting is best done in the morning. So just shift everything. Take rest a little bit earlier, get up a little bit earlier, and then in that time, you place somewhere in the morning. And so this hearing, commonly in temples, there's, you know, this temple schedule. You know what the temple schedule is. We have Mangalarti and then Japa and then deity greeting, guru puja, class, then breakfast. So you're going to be in the kitchen because you have to prepare breakfast. So somewhere during that time is when you have the class. And it could be in that rhythm after you finish your japa, then, you know, hearing is maximized. The capacity to hear has increased because of your effort to chant and then hear a class. Or, this is something that Jayadvaita Swami does, he knows that he'll chant his japa, so at least for some period of time, first thing in the morning after bathing is he'd sit and read Bhagavatam for an hour, because he, you know, he wants to read Bhagavatam, but he has to chant his japa, so he read Bhagavatam in the morning first thing. So that's another option if you want to do that. But I would say ideal is, because I'm as an incrementalist, do it a little bit at a time so it's sustainable and doable. 10-15 minutes earlier, 10-15 minutes earlier, and then here for 10 or 15 minutes. And then do that for some time, and then, you know, make it a little bit more, another 10-15 minutes, and do that for some time, get up 10-15 minutes, and then you increase the hearing in the morning. Sometime during the morning, before breakfast. Do you have breakfast at home? He does. You do?
I stay at home, so everything is
okay. So that's another shortcut, that if you can't, or maybe as a step towards, you can hear every morning while you're taking breakfast instead of talking about what you're going to do today or whatever else you talk about during breakfast. It's something that I do. In the evening it's milk and fruits, and if I'm not, you know, doing something with somebody, it's those three times I'm hearing. And there's other times during the day that I'm also hearing, and it's just when I'm brushing my teeth, and, you know, in the morning, I have this little device and it has all of Prabhupada's recordings on it, and it automatically just keeps going to the next wherever I left off. So that's another way, without even changing your schedule. But when you're taking prasadam, it's a nice thing to do, to meditate on sound vibration. You can hear kirtan, or you can just let your mind wander and hear nothing, or you can hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. But that's better as an add-on than the staple, but if that's something that you need to do just to get going, then you can do that. And technology makes it so easy. Because I've said that in the past, and I've noticed in some people's homes that I visit, they've done the same. They got a little device, and when they, you know, they go into the bathroom, they just hit the on button, and when they leave they hit the off button, and a little amplification, and you're hearing while you're just doing something that you do every day. It's not full attention, but it's hearing. The ideal is the first one. Rest early, rise early at some time during the regular morning here together.
I am wanting to read 4 books, Nectar of Instruction, the Bhagavad Gita, and study for next 1.5 years, like at least 2 times, something like that. I just want to see some guidance or blessings, some instructions.
You're taking one of the Bhakti Shastri courses?
Yes, or will be starting.
Brajbiharis or Biharis?
No.
Premataranganis? Okay. And you expect that's going to run for how much time?
I guess it will go long.
Do you know?
I don't know, but...
You should find out.
Yeah.
How, you know, at what pace, so you can prepare yourself, and then depending upon the pace, there's corollary, you know, supportive literatures and hearing that you can also plug into. So you're just looking for some encouragement. Yay! Go team, go! There's a lot of people that are launching in the same direction, because there's multiple programs that are happening, as I just mentioned. Just getting started. Okay. What else? Yes.
your recent lectures, you have been giving us an understanding of what is the seed that gets sown by the spiritual master in the heart, or the devotees, and that seed you call it the taste.
The seed is?
The taste.
Yes, okay.
So, my question is that, is there a correlation between that taste and the rishi stage of progressive?
Why not? Why not? One is preliminary and the other is mature.
The same seed grows into that.
Sure. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there are 9 stages of bhakti, which are each given names, but all of them are but stages of faith. Faith, with different names of the stages of development of faith. So, the way that that passage reads, it's Prabhupada writing in the Bhagavatam, summarizing and paraphrasing Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Rupa Goswami about the stages of bhakti. And from the sadhu sangha stage, adau shraddha tata sadhu sangha, in that sadhu sangha stage, something happens. And there's an awakening of a taste for devotional service. Something. And he calls that a seed. And it's a taste for devotional service. So you can say then, from the Shraddha, from the preliminary faith, there's taste and the maturing of taste. The way that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes is that unlike, let's say, a body where the baby body is then gone in the next stage, and that one that's gone, and the next one that's gone. So, or a plant, a little shoot, and then that's gone, and the next stage, and then that's gone, and the next stage. And that's something material. Something spiritual is the preliminary stage is preserved in the next stage. It's also there, and it's also there, and it's also there. So, then you can go, you know, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha vritti, and so on. The preliminary is within the next stage. So ruchi is growing, or taste, up to the stage of mature taste. Anything else? Yes?
We were hearing your sadhana lecture.
You were?
Myself from Sunday.
Okay, good.
So it was very clear that to the degree I am attached
materially or spiritually?
Yes.
Oh, spiritually, okay. Okay.
So the more focus I am getting, and the more strength to lose my material attachments.
Okay.
One request is like, one is you explained that by hearing to the sadhu, we get the affinity for the attachment, and that we are doing. And then the second thing is like while internalizing that, the instructions and what is happening is like, the previous conditions are like trying to block that.
Okay.
So it is taking a lot of time.
You got your tag still on your back.
We all are labels.
Huh?
We all are labels.
You got one too.
We all have.
Okay. So finish your question.
So from empowerment.
You want another cheerleader call? Yay! Keep going. That one? Or blessings? What is it you're looking for?
Getting that the other attachment. How can I throw that as a bag of potatoes?
Krishna gives the strength, but so there's no shortage of strength from Krishna's side. So where's the shortage? Yeah. The desire to do so. The desire to do so is weak. There's a biblical saying, something like, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Something like that. Well, the best process is simply through hearing, but it depends upon intelligence. And if one hears, gets inspired, takes a step or two, and then something happens, maybe it gets the bungee cord, it goes right back to where it was. Complacency. The submission slackens. Complacency. And then what happens? We suffer. And we don't like to suffer. So then we sit up straight again and, oh, better pay attention. And then bungee cord. Complacency. And then we suffer. So it's intelligence is needed. At some point the light has to go on and say, look what I'm doing. I'm this Ferris wheel. Da 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 da. And how many times am I going to do that? And it's not just, you know, in the past few years, it's the past who knows how many lifetimes. Da 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 da. We're just continuing in this lifetime from where we left off last lifetime. And how many lifetimes have we been doing, and how many more do we have to go through until the light comes on and says, do I want to keep doing this? So, impetus, intelligence, and then, you know, the determination to do so. Commitment. And there's the false ego commitment. That's not sustainable. I can do it. So, without going through that scenario, that's not sustainable. So, commitment unto someone, commitment to whom? Commitment to relationship. That's what our whole theme is, relationship. So then there's the relationship with your wife and your children, and no, because of that relationship I make this commitment. I'm to lead this family. And I'm doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and that's not leading the family. So, commitment to the relationship, and then, but there's still the false ego element, so spiritual master and Krishna. So, act in your relationship to those personalities. And there's added strength beyond your own strength. we discussed this yesterday. Someone asked, and you know, how do I sustain? When I don't see that I have the capacity, how do I get the capacity? Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
It was discussed. Hearing the instruction and being empowered by the instruction. But it's not, it's a relational kind of empowerment, not just suddenly Zappo. You know, I'm charged. Frankenstein or something. It's a relationship. Beyond my capacity. There's something, there's another component. The strength of someone that's being merciful, and I'm eager for that mercy. It's in one sense, calling for the mercy is essential. But opening one's heart for receiving that is imperative. Because we can say, and then we're still in false ego. Receive it. And then receiving it means you act accordingly. Just like with your kids. You want to extend something, and the indication that you'll have that they've received it is it's carried forward. Not just, you know, for the first 5 minutes. And then when you're not looking, it's something else. You carry it forward. But they carry it forward, and then you understand they've received. Life has its lessons, and we have to learn them. And if we don't learn them by hearing, we'll learn the hard way. And if we don't learn the hard way, then we'll continue to take birth after birth until we learn. And it's, you know, it doesn't get easier. This is the question that you're raising, or you know, this type of a question. How do I take the next step to go beyond my limitation? It's a very important question because it's life. I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. For a number of years, I distributed books at JFK when we didn't have permission to distribute books in JFK. So it was sneaking around the airport, distributing books in JFK. And for a while, one of the persons who... There were two persons that went with me. One was Preraka, a god brother, and another was Sunita, Tosan Krishna's wife. And Preraka started doing pujari work, and Sunita came regularly, and then she stopped coming, so it's just I was going alone. So I had this favorite spot that I parked in the parking lot, and then took my prasadam, and I was listening to the same lecture every day where Prabhupada was describing the principle of svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobaya, little devotional service. And then he was described, it's permanent. And then he would say, but rather than just permanent and it carries over to your next life, best to finish off your business in this life. Because then he explained that although you may continue your devotional service in your next life, as Kali Yuga progresses, while we're advancing in Krishna consciousness, look around and Kali Yuga is progressing. And in the next life, it's not easier. It's more difficult. So better you finish your life, finish your goal, achieve your goal of pure devotional service in this life. That's when I shut the tape recorder off and went into the airport. You know, every day, for months. Just listen to that same recording. Because if you can learn, you know, one lesson, not just read so many books, but learn one lesson, like to the core, one lesson, you know, you're on your way back to Godhead. You don't have to learn it again. Life has certain lessons to learn. And this one that you're describing, the Ferris wheel lesson, it just keeps going on. It's a rerun. You know, the people are different, the scenes are different, the time and the age and the things are different, but it's a rerun. Until we learn. The light goes on. Hey, what am I doing here? And each one of us had some of those, you know, to come to Krishna consciousness. What am I doing? So then, okay, now I'm in devotional service and I'm doing the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, how long am I going to do that before the light goes on? Just keep going. Okay, what do I need to keep going? Get out of false ego. Oh, that's daunting. What replaces false ego? Acting in service. In a relationship. It's my real self-interest, but my real self-interest is Krishna's interest. So let me put Krishna's interest. Wow, that's novel. That's nice for, you know, a few hours. Stay with it. Relationship. Commitment to the relationship. Kalia, you got something?
Is it relevant to also Prajapati Daksha kind of situation where he didn't learn his lesson the first time and
he
come back again?
Yeah, he had a strong propensity.
So is this the same for us also?
Well,
does he have to come back?
If the shoe fits.
Well, how do we know which lesson we did get rid of, or you just don't know?
Well, if it keeps repeating, you didn't get rid of it.
And if it doesn't come up, then you did get rid of it?
Okay. Wait a while, keep going and see if it comes up.
How long do I have to wait?
That's up to you. Just stay fixed in humble mood of service and you're ready for anything. And then, you know, when the challenges come, I forgot all those things that Janardan was mentioning yesterday, you know, this bully and that intimidation, and I thought of a couple more. I'll tell one story. I was at Penn State University, and the devotees, I was trying to encourage them to do book distribution, the ones that were operating the club. But they were really busy, so I said, "You just through the club, you make a permit, and I'll go and distribute the books." Because at the student union building, I forget the name of it, Hub, I think it is. You can distribute books. So I was sitting at a table.
When should
I? When?
Yeah.
How many years ago? Oh, at least 16 lifetimes ago. I can't remember.
Long time ago.
Long time ago. I think when Advaita Chandra was in graduate school. So 10 years ago, something like that. So I was sitting there, and right next to me, there was like, you know, assigned table space, somebody over here and somebody over here. And that was, so over here was a young American boyfriend, girlfriend kind of couple, Christian books, and that I had my Hare Krishna books. And they were, you know, people were coming by and looking and talking, and then one person came with a kind of vibration, challenging vibration. He didn't say anything. He just looked at me. And then he put his hand under the table, and I had a sense of what he was about to do. He was just testing to see how heavy the table was. And he put both hands under the table, and he raised the table, flipped it up in the air, and all the books went flying in all directions. And I just sat there completely calm. And the boyfriend, girlfriend, they became so disturbed. They said, "We know who this person is. He does things like this all the time. This is not Christian behavior. You know, I'm not a Christian, so I'm going to destroy your books," kind of a thing. And they were scrambling around and picking up the books and putting them back on the table, and I was calmly just... And then they commented afterwards, how did you remain so calm? It wasn't exactly that I expected it to happen, but it's just, things happen. Or another similar thing happened at University of Texas in Austin, Texas. It was a great spot. Outside the student union, under the sidewalk, and everybody has to go to the student union to get their mail. There's a public sidewalk. I had 2 6-foot tables of dioramas and books and stuff. And somebody, a Christian guy came to... First it was save me, and then it was... He was just livid. He started... His lips were trembling, and he just screaming. And there was a whole crowd started to form. I just was calm as anything, and spit was coming out of his mouth. He was so intense. And then, because I wasn't reacting... People were expecting a fight, and I wasn't fighting. Everyone likes a fight, and I wasn't fighting. Just calm. And so then they turned against, the crowd turned against the guy. And they pulled him to the side. This isn't Christian behavior. Christ never did anything like this. And they took him away and, let him have it. I just calmly continued at my book table. So... Tests may come, whoever you may be, or whatever you may be doing, or something like that. And this is, this is the material world. It's an unpleasant place. In Bhaktisiddhanta's language, it's not a fit place for a gentleman. But that's what we bought into. We wanted one. A place in the material world. So that's not a good bargain. So now what do we do? Because here we are. So we conduct ourselves as representatives of the spiritual world and the material world by keeping that connection. Not by, cosmetically putting something on and hoping it doesn't unravel when you get tested by the extremes of the material energy. Stay fixed in devotion to Krishna. Stay fixed at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and the followers of Srila Prabhupada, and you're safe. Whatever is going on. And it'll go on. Sometimes it'll be quiet, sometimes it'll be stormy, sometimes it'll be... The duality is going to happen because it's a place of duality. Just stay fixed in devotion. In that relationship with Guru and Krishna. Whatever the opportunity of service is, different novel opportunities, one after the next. Stay fixed in service to Guru and Krishna throughout your life. Following the means that is provided by them and the other resources connected to them to help us stay fixed. And that's how we nurture the taste, the seed. And it grows. Yes.
Actually, this month, monthly Sankirtan and Prabhupada's book distribution, Union Square. So, also same thing as you shared in Venice there. So, one heavy personality guy, he came when we were bringing the book distribution. So, you remember?
No.
So, and he was trying, he was looking like in the, going to beat to us. And he was crying like anything. Hare Krishna people are going to the hell. Try to say Jesus instead of Hare Krishna. Say Jesus. You people are going to be hell. Like that. And he was going like in the mood of completely recovery. And
madman.
Yeah, madman.
And so?
So but afterwards he walked away and then finally he was still he was trying to cry and cry and then he walked away. And I feel that it is more purifying, especially for me, to face all this kind of challenge.
Well, as somebody like that, as the wheel of time turns and the events of life turn, he'll find something else, and someone else, another situation, you know. A person like that, their life is just filled with that. They're just angry. And they've got a justification for their anger, and so it just fuels their anger. And they'll find something else in someone else in another situation. How unfortunate. How much suffering they're undergoing. What a hellish life. In the name of saving people from hellish life. And how unfortunate. So that's how I think of people like that. They're hurting so much inside. How unfortunate. Yes.
I think that doing the preaching work, it can it forces what one forces me to remain fixed even in the face of all kinds of obstacles, many of which are unpredictable. And then I think, and the beauty of that is that then when it comes to your personal life, spiritual life, where you're not exactly preaching, you may be taking care of yourself, and you remember how you were forced to be on your toes and fixed, so then it makes it easier for you to say, okay, I can, let me try to be fixed now with, even when I'm not, you know, in my missionary work. And I wanted to give a brief, like, I was thinking of something, a story I heard of Vijay, very brief. I heard it secondhand. Back in the 80s, early 80s, I guess the devotees, when they were distributing at the airport, they had wigs on. And someone
took his wig off?
Well, so Vijay is distributing his book. He's in the middle of talking to someone, selling someone the Bhagavad Gita. And someone else walks by, swipes off Vijay's wig right off its head. And, you know, you can just imagine the person he's talking to. Like. And Vijay, he didn't flinch. He just kept on telling. Continued with what he was preaching about the Bhagavad Gita. And I guess because of his being fixed, that quality convinced the person to whom he was speaking with the Bhagavad Gita, and they took the book. Regardless of this bizarre, you know, unpredicted phenomenon that interrupted his preaching. But that was pretty nice. And one, my personal story is not as exciting. But I remember, like, once distributing a book in New York, maybe a year ago, December, I try not to discriminate based on what kind of background the person has, like if it's more similar, if I like it or not. I just try to give the book to everyone to see how Lord Chaitanya can work through me according to how Lord Chaitanya sees rather than how I see. And I was doing it, even I was choosing people too quickly, probably even for my own taste, and putting aside my own natural tendency to discriminate. And then I realized the woman I approached, she actually had a full head scarf on. You know, she is clearly a a traditional Muslim woman, and I just showed her the book, and I said, okay, I'm just gonna ignore the fact that she and I know that she's a Muslim, and all the people that she know are not really going to be in favor of her having this book. And I just put all that aside and just talked about it. I was rather quick though. I said, and I told her just about the book the way I would to anyone else, that it's about yoga and meditation, how to develop pure love for God, something like that. And I said, we asked people to give donations to help us print the book. And because I was
fixed.
Confident, I decided to be confident that she's a servant of Lord Chaitanya, just as any of us are, and put aside that fear that, oh my gosh, you know, I'm talking to the wrong person, she doesn't like it, and I just put that aside, and sure enough, so she took the book too, and then I felt so happy, because then I was thinking how Srila Prabhupada would sometimes tell some of his disciples how, you know, I'm someone who, you know, something like someone who distribute these books in the Muslim land, like I touched their feet, or he said, I don't know, things like this, sorry, but this must be pleasing to Prabhupada. So then when remembering experiences like that can help me then to improve on my spiritual life, even when I'm not facing obstacles externally with other living entities, but with my own personal life.
I have two related Sankirtan stories. I mentioned there were two devotees that we went regularly to the airport with, and one of them was Preraka. So we would read Chaitanya Charitamrita sometime during the day together. And we were reading the pastime of breaking open the storehouse of love of God and distributing the contents to everyone. And we in each other's association became exhilarated or spiritually intoxicated. And so we would go through the airport. This went on for about 2 weeks. We would go as a pair, and I would point out the most unlikely person for him to distribute a book to. He would point out the most unlikely person for me to distribute a book to and see if they would take the book. And time and again, and time and again, and time and again, they took the book. Because our mood was, we're just followers of Lord Chaitanya distributing the storehouse of the contents of love of God. And it was otherworldly. It was amazing. And we were just laughing and laughing and laughing. And then, that one, okay. Most unlikely. Again, and it went on for a couple of weeks. I forget what happened. Something happened. He got sick or something, and so it's that mood, that wave that we were riding, it subsided. But another one is, I won't mention the name, but one devotee was very, very, very expert at distributing books. So they were assigned to train some others. So one devotee, followed around by three other devotees, approaching strangers in the airport. How's the stranger going to feel? One person is speaking, three other people are listening. Uncomfortable, right? Who are you? What's going on here? Let me out of here. But person after person after person, in a very, not a line, just something very spontaneous, and like Vijay, you know, very succinct, very to the point, and then close the book and take the book. And so then what was going on was, after that was happening, then suddenly everyone said no, and everyone said no, and everyone said no, very abruptly and roughly and rudely. And this devotee said, I'm thinking I'm the doer. That's why it's not happening. So I have to get out of that concept. And they did, you know, they were coaching us and saying, that's why it's happening. And so they just immediately changed the proper mood of being the instrument of Lord Chaitanya. And immediately everyone said yes, and everyone said yes, and everyone said yes. So the consciousness of, back to this question Mahamantra raised, it's distinct but related, in the consciousness of just being an instrument or being the servant of. It's a whole other consciousness, same activity, whole other consciousness. Someone had their hand up over here. Was it you?
Maharaj, I was trying to understand, like a few change of topic about respect.
Okay.
So I think even if the mood is there to express respect, but the expression itself seems to me is very dynamic and different for a child versus an adult. And
sure, but the principle is the same.
So the my question is like how if you can elaborate more on I feel sometimes even if I want to express respect, it may be understood as disrespect. So what?
Express respect anyways. That's the Mother Teresa answer. You know that one, right? Let it be genuine, that's the main thing. Sure, you'd like to have it perceived properly, but even if it's not perceived properly, let it be a genuine expression anyways. And be consistent, and you know, in the right time circumstance, you have some discussion about perceptions. All right? Anything else? Anything over here? Yes?
Maybe this isn't the sort of question that's for this forum, so you tell me if you could not. I just had a question about two verses, how they fit together in chapter 8, text 24, 25, about the yogi who passes, passing from this world, if it's under certain circumstances, he goes to the spiritual world, and under circumstances, he goes to the moon. And I was running my question on that topic. Is you think it's good for this?
Why not?
Okay.
It's really completely off topic. It's okay.
It's completely off topic.
Off topic, completely.
I didn't know there was like a theme.
Yeah, the whole weekend. You just haven't been around, that's all. There was a snowstorm. That's near a good excuse.
Could I put it off in the question?
No, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay. Should I just read the verses? Is it okay?
Yeah, sure.
So chapter 8, text 24, Krishna says, those who know the Supreme Brahman attain that Supreme by passing away from the world during several things. The influence of the fiery god, in the light, at an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, and last of all, this is where my question pertains, or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. And then the next verse, Krishna says, the mystic, so 24 was the one who knows the Supreme Brahman. 25 says, the mystic who passes away from the world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or, and here's where my question pertains, the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. So I'm wondering if I'm misunderstanding something, because the text 24, there's several conditions, one of which is if you pass during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north, you attain destination A, which is the Supreme. And text 25, one of the conditions under which you pass in is if you pass during the 6 months or passing to the south, the sun's passing to the south, then you attain destination B, which is the moon planet. So it seems that covers, there's only, the sun either is traveling to the, in 6 months is traveling north, 6 months traveling south. Doesn't seem like there's any other time for the sun to be traveling. So it seems like it's saying you either go to the sun, you go to the Supreme, or you go to the moon planet. And there's no other, but that's not where everyone goes. Some people, they go, you know, they go.
All kinds of places.
Yeah. So what am I misunderstanding?
I don't know. Could be a number of things. But the condition is these are persons who know the Supreme Brahman,
okay,
and they have an aspiration.
Okay. Okay, so if these are specifically conditions for someone who...
For those people, that subset of the total number of people.
Okay, that explains it.
Okay. College question. You're used to those, right? You're a college teacher. Anything else? Do you have anything?
I have so many things, actually.
Huh?
Everything comes back to my home and, family environment and everything. And I'm thinking that what is more important, being in a family situation, you have your duties, but at the same time you have Krishna's love and affection and deity worship and all other things, you know. So if any time comes when you have to do either this or that, how do you balance that? And without, I'm in a better situation because I have everyone in my home supporting this. But there are people in our congregation which again and again comes to that. And then they say that I have to choose this versus that, you know. And I have to talk to them and it becomes a little bit more cumbersome because if I say something and then that actually brings unpleasant thing in their life. So how do you, deal with that kind of situation and what do you suggest to those?
So the question is not specific for your family, but how do you advise people who have that conflict?
Yeah. And this will relate to us also so that our priorities also get defined.
Well, for someone in your situation, that's part A, the answer that Prabhupada would give is do both, meaning it's a false dilemma. If your commitment is to please Krishna, then both have their place in service to Krishna. And so you do both, not either or. And what I'm saying here is it's not a question of balance, it's a question of Krishna consciousness. When you're Krishna conscious, Krishna adjusts everything so that there is time for everything. As Bhaktisiddhanta said, the only thing that there's a shortage of in this material world is Krishna consciousness. Conversely, with Krishna consciousness, it's not a balance issue, it's a Krishna conscious issue. And all things get done because it's for Krishna. So how you utilize your time, it's a detail under that principle, and then you manage the details. But you're not going to be able to manage the details without the principle. The principle of this is to be done for Krishna. And so I must do it. And I'm not going to neglect my family and just go worship the deity. I'm not going to neglect the deity and just go take care of my family. I'm going to do both. That's in your household situation. And another household situation where there's some family member, the husband or the wife, or some family member that's not supportive or less committed, or, you know, it's in degrees of what the obstacle is. The first commitment goes to Krishna or Guru and Krishna, then to the family member. So if a family member who's less enthusiastic or dragging their feet or, you know, opposed or you know, keep going down, if that family member feels there's a genuine commitment to them, that resistance diminishes. And if they feel there's competition between your commitment to them their family member's commitment to them and their family's commitment to Krishna, then it's competition with Krishna. So then they're against Krishna because you're not committed to me. And all the issues are about how come you're doing all this and you're neglecting me? And home and the kids and stuff. So that person that has, they need to commit to, and that the commitment is followed by, if there's internal, and then it's external, it's behaviors and speech, and consistently, not sometimes, but consistently, because of the commitment. And then the resistance diminishes. And whether they participate or don't participate, the resistance diminishes. And so that individual needs to gauge what they can do, should do, based upon sustaining a clear exhibition of the commitment to the person, to the individual, to the relationship. And they do that in service to Krishna, not just like to protect their marriage or the peace in the home or something like that, but because it's pleasing to Krishna. That's where the real challenge is, to do it. And I'm thinking, as I'm speaking, about someone that's like in that dilemma, and the whole family is impacted. But so they've even, at least externally, reduced their exhibition of what they do in devotional life to show the commitment to the family members. And, you know, they're not sure, do you mean it? But there's movement because he means it. And so then that movement that allows resuming some of the activities of devotion that just put on the shelf for a while because of the commitment to the relationship in service to Guru and Krishna.
That's a very powerful thing, because people think that if they are doing this, then they are actually neglecting Krishna, but it's not that.
It's very delicate and even dangerous. Because if you don't do the basics, how are you going to sustain your own? You can also get washed away by Maya, by neglecting the basics. So one has to be internally very strong and well connected with persons who are guiding their Krishna consciousness. So there's a lot of detail that, depending upon the detail, one might advise one way or one might advise another way, depending upon the detail, how the strength of the individual. In some cases, it's go way overboard to show the commitment, but then making a very clear line. This is an area that I'm not going to compromise. I'm committed. Unquestionably committed, but as I'm respecting all of you, you please respect that I have this. This is something that's very important to me. It's give and take. It's not just take. This is, so I'm not compromising here. Please understand, that's me, and I'm. Please accept me. I'm accepting you, and I'm doing all these things. I mean, but it's not like negotiation. It's genuine. But this is an area that there's not a compromise, whatever that something is. Yes.
Attention to spiritual life, then Krishna makes time.
Yeah.
So, but sometimes I found that, say, you know, if I want to make a recommitment, like to maybe my sadhana, as an example, I was trying week early, improve my sadhana, and then I found that that was good for a few days, and then all of a sudden, you know, there was the night where I got called four times in the night to wake up, and then this had to happen, and like all this. Sometimes I feel like I try and step towards Krishna, and sometimes things get much more difficult. before they get better again. Okay. And I'm seeing that as a test.
Like, yeah.
Do I really want to take this step? What's the right way to...
Well, that's partially... It's a test, but it's not necessarily, you know, a taunting kind of a, you know, exchange with Krishna. Rather, it's just the nature of the entangling circumstances we find ourselves in the material world. So, two things I would recommend. One is, stay fixed in the mood. It's not just I'm going to do it mood, but a commitment to Guru and Krishna, as I've been saying, and that's my self-interest. That is my self-interest, and just stay with the commitment. Like another way visually is, there's a light in the darkness, and I'm just going to keep heading for the light in the darkness. And the wind may blow this way, and the wind may blow that way. Okay, I'm going to keep heading for that light in the darkness. And if I just keep heading for the light in the darkness, I'll get there. I'm going to keep heading for the light in the darkness. That's the commitment in that relationship. And the second thing is, schedule A and schedule B. And as soon as whatever that is, that the storm that came that caused the, you know, my schedule just got turned upside down, then that's plan B or schedule B. And as soon as that storm is over, the very next day I'm back to schedule A. Because there's that light and darkness. I'm going. I'm committed.
Similar, we discussed something similar
before. Okay. So you got, you know, two pockets, the plan A pocket and the plan B pocket. And if it just gets turned upside down and turbulent, and so it's that there's that, that's not a cause for lamenting where I just, oh, it happened again. Just you go. You let the storm pass. Like, you know, all this arrangement that we made to have a nice function yesterday, and it hasn't been any snow the whole year, and then that very morning is a big storm. Oh, right? Something like that.
So I shouldn't take it personally.
Yeah, it's not Krishna's testing me. I was trying to be sincere, and he's slapping me around. It's the nature of the place. What's important is all of that sincere service that you prepared to render, Krishna has accepted that. Guru and Krishna have accepted that. And it didn't play out the way that it was intended. That's okay. I wasn't in big anxiety. I was concerned about the devotees that might get stuck in the snow and what should we do. But that's the world we live in. It's a place of duality. And sometimes it's there, and sometimes it's there. And just like that little story that you told. It wasn't orchestrated. It was, okay, this is the circumstance Krishna put us in. Oh, here comes Janardhan and Krishna Kumari. Okay, let's go to plan B. Boom, boom, boom. Stay committed to the purpose. With the circumstances that Krishna sends, you try to serve favorably. Like that. And you may not be even clear what that is. But having that desire in your heart, that's the place of, that's the taste, that's the satisfaction that you nurture with hearing and chanting and associating, and that's the joy of Krishna consciousness. Or Gaya.
How is the way to overcome the trick of the mind? I'm trying to surrender to Krishna that he may take something away from me or he may make it things harder.
That's her question. Same answer. If you so desire, you know, you can from your side make some effort to see, is this really, that's the circumstance that Krishna wants me to serve from? Or is there something that Krishna wants me to do other than just be in that circumstance that Krishna created? Like the snowstorm. I was ready to, you know, anywhere from, let's just roll on and keep the same schedule even nobody's here, to we can just call it off, or anything in between. Wide open. So, what's the intention? What's the, in the circumstance, what's the best way to serve Krishna? This is like this thing with my knee. When I found out, because it took, the insurance was really ridiculous. I had to get this test, and then that test, and then that test, before I could really find out what I didn't know. And then when they got the third one, they said, oh, you got the third one, so you don't need the thing that you really need to know. And then the physician had to say, wait a minute, we did all those things to get this one. Oh, okay, so you can get one. We got one. Then we found out what the problem was. So I was considering A to Z without attachment, including, you know, A to Z. Not going at all. Just staying back, or going and having the surgery done there, or, you know, whatever it seemed best. We came up with something that seemed best, so we did that one. And I'm ready, that the flight's canceled, or another snowstorm, or I don't know what Krishna wants. But if that's what happens, okay. Just deal with that one. I had sent notices to the executive committee of the GBC saying I'm not going because I have to do this. I was ready. Now I'm going. So, just be in the space where the circumstance, you're walking down the path of life and something unexpected comes. Oh, that's very interesting. What's the best way to serve Krishna?
I guess being the process of surrendering is just finding.
It's called life. The process of surrendering. And there's life is a bad bargain. There's dualities over here. And they can sometimes be in the middle, and sometimes be in that extreme, and sometimes can be that, and sometimes you can go real fast from this extreme to that extreme. And there's no predicting. You can fiddle around and get an astrologer to tell you which direction the wind's going to blow tomorrow. But it may not. Just take it as it comes and stay fixed in what's the best way to serve Krishna in this circumstance. Stay in that consciousness and Krishna will give you the intelligence how to move forward. At least you'll be protected by that consciousness, whatever the circumstance is. There's no substitute for Krishna consciousness in the path of spiritual life. Someone that hasn't spoken would like to? Yes? Volume up.
I have a problem with relating with people. Like I have a kind of, I cannot relate with people very easily. So, and even if I ask them to call me, like if I need some help in some, waking up early in the morning, they check on me for 16 rounds or anything, and they call. I feel, sometimes they to call, they do call and they keep the commitment, but I cannot keep the commitment towards them. So I don't know, it's really
casual. Well, be realistic about what your capacity is and don't make commitments beyond your capacity. But what your capacity is, once you've been realistic about what that is, stay with it. Because if you don't make a commitment, it's all over the place. It's not just a sine curve, it's a child's drawing with the markings all over the paper. So be self-honest, recognize capacity and limitations, and then stay within that parameter and use that to your ability for commitments in relationships and commitments to spiritual practice. And always be striving, this is a Bhaktivinoda Thakur principle, always be striving for some incremental little step towards the light. A doable little step. But another Prabhupada's way of saying, in spiritual life you're either progressing or regressing. There's no standing still. So if the intent and attempt and effort is incremental little step, that's good. Capacity and a little step. And you get pushed back, that's okay. Stand up and reassess. With your capacity, take a step. Whatever that is, a doable little step. And just keep doing that. However many times you may get knocked over, get up. Like a child learning to walk. Prabhupada's example in the Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. Walking capacity is innate within a child, and there are many spills before they learn how to walk. But because the capacity is there, it comes out. So same, the capacity of steadiness and devotion to Krishna is there. It's not matured yet, but it's there. So just yes? Why not? I think we're winding up because the questions are exhausting. Jagatinanda has one. Go ahead.
Maharaj, while cautioning my family members...
And yourself?
What's the best way... to put it like, not to scare that, if you go in this path, like it's dangerous.
The best is you set an example. You've heard that one before. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
When I perceive an immediate danger,
what's that?
And I perceive an immediate danger. But
well, how often are immediate dangers perceived? All the time or some of the time? You follow my question? Some people like to be always in an emergency mode when it's not an emergency. Are you sure?
Yes. No.
Okay. If that's a fact, and not just you're saying it, but if it's there's an emergency, Bhagavad Gita says there are three different kinds of duties: routine, preferred, and emergency. And then there's an emergency. Then it's an emergency, and you ring the bell. Ding, 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 ding. Emergency. house is on fire. But let it be an emergency.
Okay.
When you call emergency, not otherwise. Okay.
Second one. The medium one.
What medium one?
Like you said, the routine and.
Oh. Then you set an example and you communicate from the position of the example setting person, from a position of respect. That is to say, you respect means I value you. And so I'd like to hear from you. What's important to you? Why? Could you explain? Da da da. Not like, be ready for the stick because I'm going to challenge whatever you say. So go ahead. What was your reason? Pow! That wasn't a good one. Give me another one. Pow! Not like that. Not like that. With respect. And because you value the person, you respect the person. And then you'll hear more likely, especially if that is in fact the medium of the exchange in the relationship, you'll hear what the other person's needs and interests and concerns are, and why they're doing or not doing something. And then respect that. Then you have some dialogue on the basis of respect. By exhibiting respect, you teach the culture of respect. So that when it comes time for you to say something, it's received with respect, not with something else. It's novel. Jagatananda.
Maharaj, this is a question in continuation of what she asked.
Nitaipriya.
There's a very specific question. Give a specific answer or a general answer. I'm about to have discussion with one devotee who is aspiring for initiation, and his wife follows impersonal teachings. So he is not really hoping for or wishing for a turnaround from her side. But this gentleman, he wants to go forward with initiation. And he has a specific question about, you know, the fourth regulative principle. He wants to follow it, but you know, his wife may not fully understand it. So he wants to have a discussion. So I want some pointers from you before I have the discussion with him.
Again, so much depends on some of the other particulars. But from my years of experience with this very type of thing, it can go either, you know, from either side. When it's the same point, let not just your wife, but there's children, let them know you're committed to them. Go out of your way to make sure not only that you feel it, but they feel it. Not scorekeeping kind, but feeling kind. And then set this limitation. If you feel, and I know where in couples that's happened and it's caused something, but, you know, because the commitment was genuine and all kinds of nice things were done to, over a period of time, make clear that commitment, that principle was not violated. Just the other party accepted it. Now I know some other situations where it was not done so maturely and it caused a big uproar. Big uproar. So depends on the maturity of the individual and the details of the other individual and all the details. But you know, that's one approach that can be effective. Maybe I'll share some other options with you privately. There are other ways to approach that in incremental steps, if that's just going to be too much. Yes?
Maharaj, you were talking about accessing one's capacity. So I want to know, I find sometimes difficult for me to even access what is my capacity. Like I kind of sometimes slow down thinking, you know, I'm doing too much, but then I may end up in a place where I'm lazy, or sometimes I'm on the other side where I'm doing too much in the name of enthusiasm. So how to really access what's my genuine capacity?
Ask your husband. He knows. And generally it's you try to do too much. That's my perception from a distance. You have all these big many lifetime and you know wishes to do service. It's all nice, but much. He knows you very well, as you know him very well, and he can help you with understanding. He's not going to try to hold you back. He's not going to try to push you forward. He'll be, you know, very measured in his evaluation, isn't it? Okay. Dinesh, anything?
Telling Guru Gaya Prabhu, I was thinking, is that like the real position of a servant when you, whatever happens, it's okay, and you're open to not be attached to this situation?
Yes. When saying that, that's not complacency.
No.
Because I have to do something for Krishna. Should it be this, that, or the other thing? I don't know yet, but let me explore this, that, and the other thing, and let it become, if in the mood of service, a little more clear than it is right now. So, accepting, but also exploring. Proactively. Looking to what's to do here. What is it that is the best way of serving Krishna? You know, the big picture, not the just the short term one.
Can I ask something that is not related to this?
Sure. Atmivedana did, why not?
I was listening to Chaitanya Bhagavat and I asked Hare Krishna, and he said that maybe you have mentioned this in a lecture. I wanted to know why Lord Chaitanya calls Advaita Acharya.
Because he's the in addressing Advaita Acharya in that way, he's addressing him in his position as Mahavishnu, saying, Nara, you called and I came. Like Mahavishnu lying on the causal ocean bringing about the creation. And he's brought the creation, now he wants the Lord to come and uplift the creation. Like lift the living entities within the creation. So Nara means person or human. But he, you know, with the Supreme Person, who is Mahavishnu. So that's the implication of Nara, when he calls him like that. It's like grandfather of all living entities. The father of Lord Brahma, who is the father of all living entities. Only it's Mahavishnu, the source of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who is the father of all living entities. Father of Lord Brahma, who is the father of all living entities. So, Nara. Or, excuse me, Nara. It's a mood. Yes.
When the Sri Vaishnava devotees, they worship Vishnu, is that Vishnu same as the Purusha avatars?
Yes, or? Yes. They clearly know, as do we, that the Purusha avatars are one of the six categories of avatars. So when they're worshipping Lord Vishnu, as far as they're concerned, it's the same as worshipping Rama, the same as worshipping Nrisimha, the same as worshipping Krishna, because as far as they're concerned, they're all expansions of Narayana. That's their view. Narayana is the supreme source of all of those who descend in this world as avatars. So they worship this one or as Vishnu Tattva, as expansions of Narayana. It's all just worship of Narayana in different manifestations. Lila avatars, Purusha avatars, various avatars.
And their notion of the spiritual world is kind of homogeneous.
Right? It's Vaikuntha. Not homogeneous like Brahman. Vaikuntha. It's awe and reverence. Their notion of the spiritual world is awe and reverence.
But they did not break it down into multiple planetary systems inside the Vaikuntha world.
No. They're unlimited Vaikuntha planets, all presided over by Narayana. And his, you know, various features, according to the positions of the symbols, different names, by which he's addressed. But it's Narayana. Yes?
I have a question on chanting.
You do?
I hear this, I need to chant for the heart. I know you spoke a lot of classes on chanting, but could you suggest one next step that can help me to go towards it?
Listen to the recordings that speak about it for half an hour. That's next step. And hear, just like I described, hear it again and hear it again and hear it again, so it goes in. So it's not just in and out. It stays in. And then try to apply it, and try to describe it, and try to live it. Grinanti. Bring it within the heart. Yes?
A personal question, is it okay? All right. So, practically speaking, it would seem that despite my desires, I would need to continue with my career for approximately 9 years before I would be.
You got it all mathematically calculated.
Have this sort of security.
And then.
Full time.
And then.
Well, what I was wondering is, do you think, Sri Rambai Swami, that Krishna, despite this projection of what will happen based on the normal course of activities, do you think that Krishna might make some special arrangement like he's done? When I was having some spiritual experiences, you think you might make some arrangement that would feel secure, and yet this could happen much sooner And if sure. you're not sure, could you please ask Krishna for me?
Well, Krishna can do what he wants to do. There are persons in this room that have even a shorter plan than 9 years. So it's a matter of, you know, what you feel you're comfortable with. Or say it differently, how the confidence that the unlimited can supply as needed. Yeah, but so then, you know, it's more of a matter of heart than it is a matter of what Krishna's capacity is, or you know what time is it, how many more days, months, or years. Krishna can do anything. Now, going back to your question, you know, we have to be practical. It's not putting some aspersion upon you, you know, that what feel your necessities are. And so it's something practical. I know of others that have a similar plan. You know, that similar number of years, and then that's it. Just pull the plug in. You know, they're making arrangements now so they have that facility. But then it depends on how one wants to lead one's life. And levels of not just material comforts and necessities, but also a level of capacity to depend upon Krishna. Anyway, so each person is different. And it's a relationship. Well, we're different persons. Krishna is a very expert and loving father. And we shouldn't try. There's at Memorial Weekend, I'm going to spend some time discussing during one session this point. The scripture advises not to act beyond one's adhikar, or one's qualification. That's a no-no. But on the other side, just like mentioned, we should make incremental steps in the direction that's beyond what our immediate capacity is. A step to expand our potential, our present capacity. So look inside and what's my, and then you can act within that and look to make a step. And if Krishna wants to, you know, make some other change of heart or some change of circumstance, certainly he can do that. And our success is not measured by whether Krishna does that or not. Our success is that we stay fixed in our position of faithfully striving to be pleasing to Krishna with that which we're made up of right now, the spiritual and the psychophysical nature that we have. Okay, I think we're done with this session. We have cookies.